Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Shoe Podcast, the only sneaker podcast that you would swear gave up getting their favorite sneakers for Lent because we ain't hitting on anything. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
Too real. I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
We didn't give them up, but it sure feels that way lately, huh? You enter all the raffles, you go to all the events, and just sometimes, you know, you're not an all-star. You don't get your game on. You don't go play.
Turns out, a lot of people want shoes.
Yeah, it's the darndest thing. The darndest thing is that everyone's into these foot coverings lately.
Ooh, okay. Well,
foot coverings podcast?
Yeah.
Year six. Year six, we changed the name again. Okay, all right.
That's our bit.
That's our bit. Every year we change the name.
It's all shoe, but we just
It's all footwear related, but yeah, we change it every year. That's got to be the worst bit. That's going to be really hard to keep track of here.
Yeah.
It's going to be expensive. It's going to add up, but we'll go for it. We'll have fun with it.
It's worth the quick chuckle.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing? How was, it's been like 2 weeks since we did an episode of this. So how has your life been in general?
Busy, but good.
Heard that.
Tired, but also like productive. So it's nice. It's like, I guess it's better than when you're just tired and you like look back on like a day or like the week and you're like, I didn't really do anything, but I'm tired. And it's like,
yeah, that's the worst.
Probably not great. Yeah. So it was not bad. Week.
Okay.
Last week was feeling a little down Monday, a little ill. Mm-hmm. But then just really, was busting it at work. So that was rewarding. This weekend, was a very productive, organized, focused weekend. So I'm tired, but was very busy.
You're tired but restored.
Exactly. What about you? What's been cooking over there in that kitchen?
It's been busy over here as well. Just work,
pots life, are boiling,
the whole nine yards. It's overflowing. I've got Gordon Ramsay on my neck right now. The scallops are almost overdone at this point. So, yeah, that's how he says it in Hell's Kitchen. Go look it up. You don't have to watch long. Scallops every time. But I'm here to talk about, we're here to talk about first come, first served. That's right. Ooh. Set the backstory here. You know, COVID rolls around. 2020, no more lines, no more breathing on each other, no more looking too closely into the eyes of your fellow man, right?
Perfect.
Everyone go home, put on sunglasses. It's shut down the world for a bit. All the secrets. Oh, I don't like the raffles. I want to remember the good old days. You go outside and you line up and you make buddies in line and then you get your shoes that day and you get to leave with them.
That was fun.
3 years later, here we are. And the shops are like, maybe we could go back to that. Maybe we should do that again.
Ooh, could be fun.
But you and I, we're here today to discuss and dissect. Can they handle it? Are they ready for it? Are we ready for it as the consumer even?
Interesting.
So I will say going into this episode is heavily inspired by Ruckus. Shout out Ruckus. Always shout out Ruckus. It's always love with them. They just did their release for the Nike SB Jordan 4 roughly about a week ago from when this episode is coming out. And I was there in attendance for it. And that's what kind of inspired this whole episode. So we'll have timestamps in the description, but the layout of the episode, we're going to start off. I'm going to give my recap of the event because Tanner wasn't there. You got to relive. You got to live through it through the Instagram stories, which
boy, howdy.
Perfect time to plug. If you're not following us on Instagram at Shoe Podcast, you could have lived it in real time with me for better or worse. So we're going to do a recap of the event. I figured we could kind of talk about, once you've heard about it from my perspective and you've seen the stories and you've seen some other clips that people have shared, talk about maybe what could have been done differently to make it go a little bit smoother. And then we'll get to the ultimatum. We'll address the elephant in the room. Can they handle it? Or perhaps better yet, is it worth it? Even if they can.
That's the big one.
Yeah. So I've done a lot of talking, and for the listeners who hate the sound of my voice, this episode is not for you because I'm going to be doing a lot of partner. But we'll try to break it up a little bit here. Now that I've said all that, this release, the Nike SB Jordan 4, you weren't at the event, I'm assuming, because you're not that crazy about this shoe to begin with.
Me? Yes.
Yeah.
That would be correct. Did have some family things to go.
Okay.
Which even if I was super, super thrilled about this, don't know if my wife would have been probably like, sorry, bud.
Yeah.
You're going to sit this one out, partner. This one just didn't really scream out to me a whole lot. I mean, it was, it's a very clean shoe. I will agree with that. I think a lot of people, that's kind of their big statement on it, but I just wasn't, it wasn't something that I was like thrilled enough to go and drive out for to sit. I think if I wasn't doing anything, like if I didn't have that family event going on, I probably would have just to go with you because
the night before, go line up, boys. It's been a minute, boys. What was the last first come first serve you did?
I think the last one was the Cafe du Monde.
The Cafe du Monde, the politics, so, and Saucony, and that would have been 2019.
Yes, right before COVID.
Yeah.
So would have been nice. But even then, it's also just like seeing the weather, cold and rainy. I'm like, which I mean, the Cafe du Monde was hot. I mean, and
choose your poison.
No shade. So it's like, okay, well, I stood for that. It's like, but at the end of the day, I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, politics, but this is ruckus. Mm-hmm. This is a Louisiana shoe. This is a SB, which is hype.
Yeah.
So yeah, didn't end up going. Like I said, it definitely wasn't something that I was really itching for.
And that's
And even if I probably was, could have been like, I'll just wait until they make an official drop rather than a first come first serve.
Yeah.
But I think honestly, for the memories, would have gone.
That's the real thing about like first come first serve, and we'll get into it, but like the sense of community is one of the biggest draws of it as well. But
yeah,
to give everyone some context, by the time this episode comes out, both releases, both major brand releases of this shoe will have happened, but Skate Shops got to release this shoe on March 17th. All other sneaker boutiques that are carrying it and Nike themselves are releasing it on March 21st. So by the time this episode comes out, all of those will have happened. Maybe, you know, what am I now? I'm now future Ryan. We'll be looking at past Ryan and saying, hang in there. So you got a pair. He doesn't know it yet, but maybe I will. But there was one more thing. Oh, and before we get into all of this, I'm going to go ahead and say it, that we're going to try and be as objective and unbiased in this whole thing as we can. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as we said at the top of the episode, have a lot of love for Ruckus. And we as the podcast have a great relationship with them. But to that same point, I went to this event and stood in line like anyone else. Mm-hmm. I didn't text anyone trying to get in early. I wasn't asking someone to hold me down a pair. I wanted to go to it with like the, what's it like to go to one of these events just as anyone? That's also not to say that if I send that text of like, can you hold me down a pair?
I'm in.
Bet. No, to be fair. Yeah. But so just, I just want everyone to know it's not like that either. But I just
it's
want
not that I
to
could
know.
Have done it, but I did do it.
Yeah, but I didn't. And that's what's just as important to know. Exactly.
Humble.
Oh, that's hilarious. Humble. Gotta stay humble. So, okay. Recap of events here. Ruckus doesn't disclose the location of where they're doing the event until the day of the event. We know it's not at the shop. They make it abundantly clear it's not at the shop. But they say 7 a.m. the morning of the event, we're going to post online where it's at. So me, what I think is an exercise in overkill, I go, here's what I'm going to do. 6:15, I'm up and I'm ready. I'm dressed. Okay. Car's packed the night before. Got to bring the gear. Got to vlog for the day. I wake up. I drive downtown. Because they say it's in the downtown area. That's all we know. So I'm like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to the downtown area, 6:30, 6:45, grab a coffee, grab McDonald's, camp out. I'm going to do like an old fashioned police stakeout, you know, where I'm like, as soon as it comes in on the chatter line, I'm all for it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I get downtown. It's probably about 6:40. I park outside the coffee shop and I'm going and I'm like, okay, got 20 minutes before they announce it. Let me just check Instagram. Open Instagram. Ruckus has a story. Uh-oh, 6:40. It's too early for that. Open it. 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, they post, here's the address.
Oh, well.
So I'm already 10 or 15 minutes late here. So instead I say, you know what's just as good as coffee at McDonald's? An empty stomach. I'm driving down there. So thankfully, I was about 5 or 10 minutes from where the event actually was.
Okay.
Drive on, zip on down there. And the street is already packed. There's already a ton of cars on there. But again, keep in mind, I'm there 15 or 20 minutes after they post it. In my head, and you tell me, how many people do you think are as crazy as I am to have had the plan of like, I'm going to go camp downtown and wait for them to announce it? Or here's my conspiracy theory. People knew the location ahead of time.
How many, I guess what I would say is my first question. Am I allowed to know how many people you would say roughly when you showed up? How many people were there?
If I tell you, it's going to make the answer abundantly clear.
Okay, yeah, that's...
I'm not great with numbers. I would ballpark 100. I would ballpark at least 100 people there.
So I was going to say, if I see maybe 50 people, you know, or, you know, 50 people there, I'm like, okay, I think there's enough, you know, sneaker enough enthusiasts that they would be like,
call them crazy people. Yeah.
I'll be up at 6 a.m. Especially because Ruckus was like, hey, we're going to be somewhere downtown. 100 people, 100 to 125 people. It's not hard for me to get that tinfoil cap on, baby.
Right.
I sleep with that bitch on.
It doesn't. I keep that thing on me.
So, yeah, I would probably, if I get there and I see there's 100 people there, I'm like,
okay.
It's a little interesting.
We struggle. We make the block. We got to find parking. We find some street parking eventually, get the car parked. We get out there, get in line. When I tell you I'm ACG'd up from head to toe here, I got the shoes. I got
the pants. We checked the weather report.
Because I checked the weather report. I know it's going to rain. That's all right. I'm prepared for which conditions? All conditions. I have the gear for all conditions.
Come on. It's in the name.
So I get out there. I get in line probably around like 6:57-ish. And I say, here we go, Ryan. You're 31. Can you stand for 4 hours? It's time to find out.
Yeah.
So we're doing fine. First hour goes by relatively quiet. Not a lot of small talk in line, which, you know, sneaker lineups, depending on the people, how outgoing they are. I'm kind of an introverted guy, but also, it's 7 a.m. and cold. Probably a lot of people are like, I'm not going to make a ton of chit chat right now.
Yeah.
8 o'clock rolls around. Pitter patter. The Rain Man's here.
Early. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Throw the hood on. Throw the hood on. All right. We're going to weather out the storm. That's what I wore the Gore for. I wore the Gore-Tec for this occasion. I'm here for this.
And if anything, I feel, with the weather, you're like, okay, we're about to might weed some people out.
Push, meet, shove. It's time for you two to come together. We're going to figure out who's really here for this.
Yeah.
I will say, maybe of like the 100 people in front of me, 4 or 5, I saw duck out. Because towards the front of the line, there's a tent with a covering. And my guess is that that tent holds 100 people in it.
Gotcha.
So that group, good. We're gonna sit. We're 100%. Nice and cozy. They're putting their feet up. They got a little fire going. They don't actually, but that wouldn't be safe at all. So a few people leave, and the rain is pouring down and pouring down, and I'm starting to feel my head get a little bit wet, and I'm like, I think this is rain resistant. I think this is water resistant. I don't think it's waterproof. And I'm starting to feel it. All right. Well, Ryan, you made your bed, time to lie in it. So I'm going to just sit here. I was like, the hypothermia fours, maybe, possibly.
Maybe.
We're going to call, you've heard of the flu game 12s. Here's the hypothermia fours. Let's get them.
Hey, come on.
9 o'clock rolls around. A gentleman, an unknown sir, enters the lot.
Okay.
Cups hands to mouth. An announcement's about to happen. Good or bad, yet to be determined.
Ooh.
The announcement is, hey, if you're parked down that street by the white building, I'm getting ready to tow cars in 15 minutes.
Oh.
I'll give you one guess as to who on this podcast right now is parked down by the white building.
Well,
take your time.
Got to be Red Cup Yeti Man.
It me. So, thankfully, the girl in front of me is also parked down by the white building. So she goes, "Hey, will you watch my spot? I'm going to go check on my car." And I said, "Great. I'll watch your spot. When you get back, you watch mine. I'm going to go check on my..." Because you know a sneaker lineup.
Oh, yeah.
It's not guaranteed. There's no guarantees when you get out of that line. You come back. "Hey, thanks for watching my spot. I've never seen you in my life."
Your spot is behind me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So she goes, runs and checks on her car. She gets back. All good. They haven't towed her. I go out. And the guy's out there, and I'm like, "Hey, if I'm parked on the street here, not in this building's lot, am I good?" He's like, "You're good."
Oh, cool. Okay.
While I'm here, umbrella from the car. Umbrella time. I get back to my spot. I open up the umbrella 1,000 times better. You know how I've told you before, and we've told it on here before, where it's like, I have this idea where I'm going to go in nature and gather sticks and start a fire. And then eventually you're like, let me just see. I brought a Duraflame log. Let me just see. This was that 1,000 times where I'm like, I love the little triangle logo that says ACG, but nothing beats an umbrella.
Nothing. Something. Well, I mean, especially, look, it may be all conditions, but to an extent.
Yeah. 90% of conditions gear was my caption.
Yeah.
90% of conditions gear. Yeah. All right. So somewhere over the next course of the hour, the line in front of me, people are not leaving, but it's getting more condensed because I'm slowly finding my way up under the umbrella, under the tent. But I'm not pushing people. I'm not cutting anyone. Just the line's moving forward slowly. Meanwhile, the tent is gathering water. People are using their umbrellas and chairs to like poke at the tent, not to poke holes in it, but to like push the pooled
water. Push the water. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. So that's 10. I eventually get under the tent. Somewhere in that next hour. So doors open at 11. At this point, I've been standing there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that next hour while I'm under the tent, they have the little belt dividers, I'll call them. You know, at an airport, they have the little dividers. They clip, they pull.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, retract. People are undoing the belt dividers. And
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
The zigzag marquee is kind of just a blob now. Kind of just a blob going forward. I've lost my appetite. I'm no longer hungry because I filled up my tummy on secondhand vape and I'm doing great. Guy next to me was blowing clouds at me like I was a weatherman. And I was like, I see them rolling in. Dear God. He just
on the harbor, just the fog rolling in.
Back to the camping analogy. Like, you know, when you're having a bonfire and you're like, no matter where I move my chair, the smoke follows me.
White rabbit.
It was that vibe, 1,000%, my God.
And I'm sure underneath that tent is nice and humid.
Oh, yeah. It was it was nice and muggy. So
delicious.
11 o'clock finally rolls around. They 10:40, they come outside. There's cops there. Cops weren't called. They got cops to show up. Hired? Provided? I don't know what the term is, but they got cops to be there for the day.
And can you see the door? Like, are you close enough to where you like you could?
I can see it. Yeah, it's not. Okay. I'm not wrapped around a corner. We're all packed in one parking lot. Someone comes out 10:40, gets on the cops mega announcement because that's the only way they can make an announcement. No one has like a megaphone or a PA system.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna open doors in 20 minutes, and we're gonna let people in 10 at a time. Good. Keeps it controlled, I guess. This whole time, by the way, they're continuing to come over and tell us that cars by the white building are getting towed. So I'm sitting there in my head like, some guy, random guy, told me I was fine if I'm parked on the street, but like, what does that mean? You know, like, does that hold up? So anyways, 11, doors open. You ever been to a concert and you're near the front and you just push? You just get pushed. Just getting pushed and mushed towards the front of it. And so I'm like, okay, hang in there. Let's weather the storm. I'm now no longer in the bit of a line that I was in. I'm just in the mob.
Yep.
Let's see how it goes. 11:30 rolls around. I've not taken a step forward. I start doing the math in my head. I'm like, best case scenario, if I push and shove my way to the front, I get in there maybe in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm out here for another hour. When I take steps, I hear the ocean beneath my feet. I'm feeling the swish swash. There's water in my shoes. And I called it. I said, that's it. I'm leaving. Because yeah. I had several checkpoints. Stood in the rain mm-hmm. for a couple hours, got soaked, and I went, okay, this sucks. I'm dripping wet. I'm going to buy a shirt. They're going to have shirts. I'll buy a shirt. I'll do that.
I'll walk away with something.
I was like, I still want shoes, but I'm like, I want a dry shirt more than anything right now.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Just because my shirt was soaked. Wanted to bring my camera and vlog the whole day. Raining. Can't. So I'm getting some cell phone footage. So I'm like, okay, but I'm going to hang it out. I'm going to wait in there. Line dissolves. Okay. I'm going to hang it out. Cars are getting towed. Okay. I don't think mine's. And so there were just so many little points. I'm standing in water. I'm dripping wet. My legs are shaking either from the cold or because I'm 31 and I haven't stood that long for too long. And I just saw how slow it was going to take me to get in and how like aggressive I was going to have to be to get in there.
Yeah.
And I called it and I said, I'm leaving. I don't feel like my odds are good that I'm getting a shoe anyways. And I won't have the what if regret if I leave right now, because I'll feel pretty confident that I won't. If I stick around for another 2 hours and get in there and they don't have shoes, that will hurt me more.
I'm mad.
I love shoes. Not this much. That's when I had my moment.
Well, and I think once that moment hit where it just became a mass, because then it's like, you know, you can't, at least for the Café Du Mont, you could see. And there was some good organization, so you could see the progress happen. Like you said, once that somewhat structured order was gone and it's a blob, it's like, okay, well, they may start letting people from this angle come in and I don't move at all.
Yeah.
So then it's like, is it an hour? Is it 2 hours? And again, I don't know how it's going to move. And while it was unfortunate to be standing in the rain for that amount of time, now for as long as I'm in here, it's just compact. I have no room. Everyone is, I am touching people.
we're not even elbows apart. We are sardines in the can. Yeah. Elbows on your body. Yeah.
Yeah. You really start at that point. I think you really start weighing the shoe, looking at the shoe and be like,
yeah,
is it
a good shoe? It's not a great shoe. It's a great shoe. It's not the best shoe. You know,
I can 100%.
Live without it. Yeah.
100%.
I go home. Dry change of clothes, but I'm like, you know what? They're not just doing a release. They're doing all day events. They have food trucks here that are catering. They're having a best trick competition later for cash. They have a DJ. They have a whole installation inside.
Oh yeah.
I want to see it. Go home, dry set of clothes, eat some lunch. I'll come back.
Okay.
Around 3 o'clock, I get back there. I don't mean to offend, cause this is not how I mean it. But compared to that morning, ghost town.
It is empty.
Most people are gone. I didn't get a good sense if people, like, even after they got their shoes, if they stuck around even for an hour. Because they put a lot of time into the build-out inside, into the installation. And you saw it as well in the weekly
episode.
How many times they posted all the little trailers? Like, they built this up to be a whole event. But by the time I got there at 3, probably less than 50 people there. But all this to say, like I said at the top, where like my favorite thing, the thing I miss the most about first come, first serve, obviously, aside from like a chance to get the sneakers you want in hand on the day of, is the community, is getting to hang out with people and talk with people and maybe make friends in line. You know, from the Café Du Mont event, we made friends in that line that like that was right when we were starting the podcast, and we still stay in touch with some of those people. So it's like,
yeah,
that's the stuff that I really missed. But that's the stuff I still ended up getting to do. And I will argue maybe better than getting this pair of sneakers, because there's other places to get this pair of sneakers. I got to meet several people that I've been messaging for a while through the podcast and been wanting to get on future interviews, and got to talk to them in person. They're like, "You're Shoe Podcast Guy." What is better than seeing you and being like, "You're Shoe Podcast Guy"? I'm like, "Oh, you know, that's sick." So
yeah, and then I mean, like, it also kind of like you said. I mean, obviously, Ruckus wanted to make this a big event for it being very special, and it was. This is a huge event, you know, to have a first come first serve, and like you said, I mean, if from what you saw with a couple hundred people waiting in line to when you come back now, I mean, to be fair, you got there at around 3. People had been there since 7 a.m.
Right, exactly.
In the pouring rain. So probably, a lot of people, there may have been people who were like, "Hey, I did want to stay." But after, you said, being soaked, probably like, "Sorry, guys, I'm going to dip." You know, because I'm sure there was a lot of people who were there maybe like to participate in all the things they had. They weren't standing in line. You know, they were like, "Hey, I'm going to go to this." Yeah. Kind of like all the things you have going on, not necessarily standing in line. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, just be like, I feel like a lot of people at Ruckus hopefully got shown some true love in the later day.
Yeah,
cause it's like, it's easy to show up when you, for the shoe, but then to try and stay and be a part of that community is very important. And I think it is really tight that Ruckus wanted to do that, because from what I saw and from what you're telling me, there was no community in the early on.
Not in the lineup,
I don't care about anyone. I just want this shoe, whether it's I want this shoe because I want to skate it, I want to just rock it, or I want to flip it. Everyone was just, I want this shoe. So I think it was really cool that Ruckus had something established for like, hey, if you want to be a part of the community, whether it's the state skating community or SB or Jordan, whatever it is, we have something going on for all of these people to kind of come and be like a melting pot.
Exactly.
And all kind of like touch base. So I think that was super cool that Ruckus wanted to make sure that this is a very like community focused event, and put the effort in to make sure that that happened. Maybe they, you know, foreshadowing, or maybe not foreshadowing, just knew, hey, we're probably going to get most of the people who are coming are probably just coming for the shoe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
But for the people who just like to, you know, they bang with Ruckus, or they want to just see what the community is about, we've got that for them. So that was really dope.
I love that.
Especially seeing all those pictures from inside, how the setup was. I mean, it looked really cool. That is like, yo, that would have been fun to do.
Yeah. So much props and credit to the guys at Ruckus, Trey from Full Court, and Mark, who did a lot of the art and build outs that were in there. Looked phenomenal inside. Looked really killer. I didn't get to see the full installation as it was, because even as I got there, they'd started to take some things down. And then, you know, obviously product had stolen stuff that was on the shelves is no longer on the shelves, but it was still really cool. I'm sure they'll have a little, Adam was there shooting video throughout the day, so I'm sure they'll have like a sick highlight reel that goes out at some point. So
yeah,
I know that was already a lot, but here's what we're going to do now.
Oh,
because I think the general cry and chant of the internet is every time, not this one specifically, every time a shop does first come first serve and there's not enough product to meet the demand, which spoiler is also almost every time.
Yeah.
People want to start getting bitter in their ways about like what they could have done differently, how the shop should have handled it. And so me, in preparing for this episode, I thought about a lot of my pain points throughout the day. And then I thought, how could they have done this differently? And so I kind of want to run those by you and put those out there on the internet. And for those of you listening, we will have both a Q&A and a poll in the Spotify episode description asking, do you think stores can handle first come first serve? And then we want to hear and read your thoughts on what shops need to do to have a successful first come first serve. So check out the episode description. We will be reading those, cause I'm very curious, but I will. And I thought this would appease to you, cause I know you kind of got that little bit of like contrarian in you. That's kind of like, you know, don't be an apologist for people. And I didn't set out to be an apologist for people, but by the time I got to the end of this list, I have one thing that I think they could have and should have done differently. Hindsight is 20/20, but we'll get there. Cool. So starting from, I tried to do these in my chronological order of pain points. First one being you get there, there's already 100 people. How do you avoid a leaked address when you try to keep it tight? Here's the thoughts that I came up with. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The more people that you involve with an event like this, you got the employees, the security, the DJ, the catering, the bar, the media, etc., the less control you have over who 100%. Might leak information to their friends. So then there's this trade-off between like how many outside parties can we bring in to make this like a bigger, better event versus like how secretive can we keep the location?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, as much as I wanted to be down there, I wanted to be one of the first in line. Is that worth, you know, them not having security or them not having a DJ? Or, you know, and it's like, as much as you'd love to tell, they can't police that. You can't police everyone that you're bringing in for the event and like, don't tell anyone. And you also can't tell all your vendors, are you free for an event on March 17th? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. Where? And they're like, I'll tell you that morning. You know, and it's like, you can't hold that from them.
No, exactly.
Oh, broke the chair.
Yeah, almost.
Sign up for the Patreon. No, I mean, we could use your money right now.
That is a very good point. I mean, like you said, the bigger you want the event, the more people you got to have, the more people you have, you just have even more of a chance. And it's like, okay, well, DJ tells one person, that one person tells two people, those two people tell four people.
Yeah.
It's very easy. And that's the thing. Of all the people, maybe three of those people told three people, but then again, it just spiderwebs out of that. And
To further point to what I said at the top of the episode, which again is not like confirmed or anything like that, but just to put it out there, I did not know the location ahead of time of the event.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask anyone because I wasn't trying to find out, but also like we're not so connected that like I saw it going around in any groups or anything like that, you know? So it's like,
I
feel pretty confident that it got out and people knew, but again, there's only so much you can do about that, you know?
Yeah. And it could have been all 100 people if there was 100.
Yeah.
You know, we're just loosely saying 100. All 100 of those people, probably, obviously, they didn't all know that address. And you weren't the first one.
Right.
But, I mean, probably, you know, 50, you know, 40 to 60 people probably knew. And also, you know, I'm sure even if they did know, it's like, hey, be here. Don't obviously show up at 5 a.m., but just park.
Yeah.
And as soon as it hits the IG, you're there.
Get out your car. Yeah.
You know, I would imagine, because I'm sure even if there were people, I don't know really what they could do, but I'm sure probably the people at Ruckus, if they already see a line before the IG posts go out, they're kind of like, hey, guys, you're kind of, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, and it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to be able to avoid it because, like you said, there's no DJ that's going to be like, hey, I need a setup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, because then especially it's like, hey, all these people, I need you to wait and we'll text you at 6 a.m. You know,
that's it's
like,
the, your vendors are absolutely not. So, and again, you just have no control over them. So,
true.
I don't see how you avoid that. Next issue, parking. Avoiding towing. I feel like really the only way you get around that, you get a venue with a bigger designated parking lot. But then, okay, so how much does the store spend on the venue now?
Yeah.
And there's a break-even point, you know, which you don't even want to get there. You obviously want to make some profit all the day, but it's like, okay, do we get a bigger venue? Well, how many people are coming? I don't know. We got like 500 likes. How many people is that? You know, and it's like,
yeah, I think it's just there's no way to avoid it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because then it's, you know, what city are you in? You know, how are you gonna do that? To me, really, it's just one of those things where, and again, I mean, if you're trying to do a shock drop, it's not like you can ahead of time tell people, hey, don't park in this business, things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess maybe I don't know if the people at Ruckus communicated with the tow truck company, because if I'm a tow truck company, I'm not making an announcement. I'm just Cash. Literally free money sitting. Yeah, so Ruckus was, that was their, you know, again, not trying to apologize.
I don't think they brought the tow company in, but
no,
I'm sure. Yeah. The tow company probably came over to the building. It was like, who is in charge here? Just letting you know. And then they started announcing it. Yeah. I mean, to their credit, it's like a weird silver lining, but I'm like, the fact that the towing company or anyone announced that they were about to is like not to be taken for granted. Most tow companies do not work like that.
Exactly. Most, and that's what kind of makes
you go
me
back
think,
to where you parked and you're like, I don't have a car anymore.
And I look for a sign that says it's this tow company travel. So that kind of makes me think that Ruckus was at least somewhat aware that this is probably something that's going to happen, or at least they know the area. And maybe contacted the tow company, was like, hey, if you could just at least come and give some people a heads up. Because like you said, I don't know any tow company that's politely going to, if anything, they're like, I'm going to boot as many cars as possible
and get that
to make a quick paycheck, couple grand. Yeah. So this, again, I think is one of the things where it's just unavoidable.
Yeah.
It's just... Hey. Pay attention to signs. If there's a parking lot that says, you know, not public parking or tolls, you just gotta, you know.
Speaking of unavoidable, let's talk about one that is unavoidable, but people still want to try to blame somehow the weather. And you can, I mean, we're talking about a lot of these points through the Ruckus event because it's the most recent one and obviously with the base of this, but like a lot of this still also applies to, like, we were at the Cafe Du Monde event. That one was super hot outside. This one's raining outside. Shop has no control over that. They book the events so far out, you don't really know what the weather's going to be like most of the time.
No.
So the weather's out of your control, but how you respond to it is in your control. And so in this event, Ruckus got a tent and set it up so that, I don't know if they planned on having the tent way far in advance before they even knew the weather or if it was last minute. But I mean, to be fair, last minute, what are you going to do? You're not going to cancel the whole event. You've spent way too much on it, hyped it up way too much. You can't do that. How big of a tent? How much tent can you get on short notice? How expensive is it? So,
yeah.
I think it's like, while it's a bummer standing in the rain, it was nice of them to get a tent. Hindsight, as I said earlier, did the tent actually end up causing more issues? Because if people just had to stand in the rain the whole time, right? Obviously, people are bitter and upset.
Mm-hmm.
People who aren't super invested, more people leave, which there's that. But I think without a tent, you have a better shot of keeping the line one straight line rather than zigzagging it a couple times, bunching up, having to put the belt dividers. Better chance that it stays as an organized line than a mob.
That's tough.
That's just something I was thinking about. I was like, oh, the tent. I mean, to be fair, if you were under the tent, you were probably like, I have no issues with the tent. But like, if you weren't under the tent, you were like, they are dry and they're not in a line.
Weather is, again, that one is on you. That is a personal, I mean, you gotta check, you know, you gotta check that weather. I mean, even if it's like a, you know, that's like people who go camp out, you know, the night before, you're not going to just show up with no chair, sleeping bag, ice chest. Like, you're going to prepare for sleeping in front of a shop.
Yeah.
Same thing for like a day of thing. Like, you see the weather, you know what's coming. Like, you need, it's not like no news, you know, news station wasn't saying that, you know, there was a high chance of weather or cold. So, not to say that you wouldn't just step out the house in full head-to-toe ACG, but you're also, you know, you're going to prepare.
Right. You try to, at least,
Exactly. So, I mean, it would be, like you said, it would be foolish for Ruckus to be like, hey, guys,
yeah,
we might get some rain today, so cancel.
Heads up. Yeah, exactly.
Shock drop when it's not raining.
Keep your phone on. You turn on the post notifications.
Yeah.
So speaking of the tent, you remember I was saying I eventually got under the tent. People were unclipping the belt dividers and moving as a mob. So then I thought, okay, what if instead of belt dividers, you put the metal barricades? You treat it like Mardi Gras. You treat it like Johnson Street in Lafayette.
Yeah.
You put up the metal barricades. But then you saw the videos. You saw the metal barricades that they did have. When there's a mob of people and the people are persistent, it maybe deters them at best. But like... people were, could see, there's videos of people like leaning on 45 degree metal barricades.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, might have it helped. I'm sure they're also more expensive to rent than just the little belt dividers, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So if the tent and the dividers were another sort of like last minute because of the weather thing, I don't know, because I've never tried to like rent metal barricades for an event. I don't know how short notice you could get them and how expensive they are.
Yeah. I mean, I think if there were metal barricades to start with, I think big deterrent of like, okay, I'm not going to push it. Because then you see, it's like, okay, if I mob, I will literally crush somebody.
Crush someone.
Yeah. Like their legs. And maybe Ruckus was like, hey, maybe they thought about it, but they're like, what if a mob happens?
Yeah.
And then now we have people, you know, we got a serious issue on our hands. Mm-hmm. So then they were like, well, we can get the belt dividers. Hopefully people are decent, which turns out people in general are not decent.
turns out when people like have been standing out in the rain for a couple hours and they really want a thing where there is more demand than supply, people start making those questionable decisions. People start being like, yo, I'm normally an accountant, but I might step on someone today. You know?
Like, and then so it's like, all right, we got the belt divider. So then it's like, no, you know. And honestly, I mean, not to kind of derail from where we are, but this event, again, this is not a statement against Ruckus. This is a statement against the sneaker community.
Yeah.
Nothing disgusts me more about being into sneakers than witnessing what happened.
Yeah.
A $220 pair of shoes and people, it's like they were passing out diamonds or something like that. Like,
well, and
again, this mob reaction wasn't even for like, you get the shoe for free. This mob reaction was, let me pay for it. Let me give you $250. And again,
I hate that I have to do this, but I have to do it. Okay. So the shoes are $225. Call it whatever. $240 after tax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even focusing.
$381.
Like, even if you're trying to get them to resell them.
$100?
$150 after fees? Like, this is not, you're not going in there and personally grabbing multiple pairs. They're not letting you. It's not worth it. That's why I left.
Yeah. And that was one of the things. Again, not. I'm not shaming Ruckus. This has nothing to do with Ruckus. Yeah. This is the smudge that is like sneakers.
Sneakerheads.
You know, is just going crazy, you know, for whatever pair of shoes. And again, it's not like this is a free pair of shoes that is already projected to sell. You can make $1,000 on.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even then, I mean, I guess with age, like even if you could be like, oh my God, I could make $1,000 on the shoes. Like that's not even rent.
Yeah.
That's not even that won't even cover 1 month of rent.
Even if it was, and like, you know, I'm not there to get the shoes to resell. I'm there to get them because I want them and I want to wear them.
Yeah.
You have to be able at a certain point to check yourself and be like, am I going to like push and shove someone? Am I going to cut in front of someone else to get these? And I don't mean to get so heady that like, you know, would you steal bread to feed your family? But at the same time, it's like, look at what we're resorting to get shoes and how we're treating other people. And like, it's not worth it. There's so other shoes.
Exactly. And this is like the prime example of when you tell people, like when I'm like, yeah, I'm into shoes. And like, how many pairs of shoes do you have? And I'm like, this many. They're literally piled. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, they're literally piled like on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, that's kind of weird, huh? Like it's shoes. You walk on them. And I go, yeah, but then there's the yada, yada, yada. And then there's this happens, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Is it like?
Yeah. And they're like, but you can only wear one pair a day. And I'm like, stop talking too much because I'll start hearing you and agreeing with you, please.
And my personality crumbles.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, I think metal barricades would have been a good visual deterrent.
Yeah. I'm going to power through the rest here because I know we are going long and it's a long episode, but I got a lot to say and I got a lot of thoughts here. I will get to now what I think was the biggest gripe I heard in the day, the biggest pain point that everyone has, everyone's suggestion. We need more security. We need more police. We need them to step in and do something. Okay. Hear me out. I saw at least 4 security guards, probably more like 5 or 6, like independently hired guys that they had. two police officers, two police vehicles. They're not really doing anything to enforce that people aren't cutting the line or are keeping a straight line. Again, you've seen the videos. You can see police officers walking through that video, not really trying to do anything to ensure fairness, let's call it.
Sure, yeah.
So my thing is, okay, they had four security guards. Call it eight. Call it they have eight. What's different? What is different? Yeah. I don't think more of them actually helps with anything. And then I think to the same point, like, does a Ruckus employee have to go out there and tell the security guards to enforce it? Because then at that point, it's like, what did you hire them for? What are you paying them for?
That true. I mean, I guess probably more of like, you know, I guess like you said, a security guard's not going to arrest someone for pushing or cutting.
Right.
A security guard has even less authority. I mean, they're literally just, they're just there to make sure that fights don't happen. Intimidation
factor, really, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's deterrent, like, okay, if a fight breaks out, because then it's like, okay, sure, you have more police there. Okay, the first time a police officer pulls someone out the line because they pushed, now imagine the uproar. Mm-hmm. Now they're not, oh my goodness, Ruck has hired, you know, the security force or whatever, and they're yanking people out just for, you know, getting too close or whatever it may be. Right. So it's like, it really is a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah. But yeah. I honestly don't know what more police would have done. And let me tell you what, nothing is going to suck the energy out of a sneaker release like 20 cops just being like
a heavily armed first come, first serve.
With like their batons out and be like, you best be on your best behavior. Are you going to go to jail for some fours? Like,
yeah, No.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, kind of hard, you know? And then not to say that, you know, the stereotype of, you know, the police officers and skate community, you know, so it would be kind of weird of like, I know we're kind of, you know, so I really don't know what more security would have helped.
Me either.
Not at all.
So here it is. And you were also patient to wait 45 minutes. Here is my idea. Here's what I think needed to happen. And what I told a few people on that day, I think you need someone out there as soon as the line starts forming. You need an employee out there, gives everyone that shows up a unique numbered ticket or wristband as soon as they get in line. You're number one, you're number two, you're number three, all the way down the line.
Mm-hmm.
People who show up late and try to cut, they don't have the number, they don't have the wristband.
Go in order.
Sorry, you're not getting in. Yeah, you're not getting in. Counterpoint, well, not even counterpoint, just further benefit here. You have to step away to go check and make sure your car's not getting towed. You have to go use the bathroom. No incentive for everyone to move up and step up. I come right back.
Yeah.
Here you go. I'm here. Here I was. They're doing an event where there's food trucks and stuff like that. We all have our number. There's no need for us to literally stand here. We can go enjoy activities and come back when the doors open.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
I'm not a genius. Shops have done this before. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any like holes in that plan? I'm not saying that's the silver bullet that you do that and none of the other things and it works. That's the shitty thing, which we'll get to in the final segment. You have to do that on top of everything they already did.
Yes. Yeah. No, not really. Because you can just buy a roll of tickets. And they have that numbering, you know what I mean? So
That's why I said unique. I think the shop has to get like, you order ahead of time, unique printed, like you ever go to an amusement park and they have a wristband with their logo on it.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily need to, cause you could just, cause I mean, they make those colors. They make a ton of those colors.
I guess.
So you could just, again, if you're doing it to where it's like, I mean, or you can release, but you don't tell people what color it is, what you're going to do. It is literally just because nightclubs do that all the time. I mean, they don't have a number thing, but they switch the color of their bands all the time.
Right.
So that be like, hey, this is our 21 and up band for tonight.
Right.
Whereas if tomorrow night, if you come with bright yellow, it's like you stole that from somebody.
Right. Yeah.
So it's the same thing. You could just find different colors. Cause if you're like, oh, here's my number one, I got a red ticket. They're like, oh, we do blue. That's clearly counterfeit. See ya.
Yeah.
Or here's 122nd, you know, whatever it may be. But no, I really don't see that. Or if you really want to, we are in the digital age. I mean, it would be much more of a
bigger investment, but
yeah, bigger investment, but you have an app.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you, when you come in, I don't know how you would
scan you, you know, in or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know how they would do it. The easiest thing would be a ticket. And I agree. Yeah. You, as soon as you, as soon as people start lining up, you go, but then that's also not a very fun chore for a Ruckus employee who is trying to have fun also at the event, but also it's like, I understand you want to have fun at this event, but this is also,
you're working it.
Yeah. You know,
unfortunately.
So,
yeah.
Maybe you take shifts. Maybe you'd be like, hey, for,
that'd probably be a fair way to do it. Half,
you know, whatever it may be. But I agree. I think that would be a great, because again, it de-incentivizes this bull rush. I got to stay. And, hey, we have food trucks. We have all this stuff. And it would be like, hey, look, we're not going to call you. We're not things like that. We're literally just going to be like at 11.
When the doors open, we're going through the line in order.
We're going to start shouting. So,
yep.
You should just be around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure.
Also, maybe probably a good investment of a bullhorn.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing to have. If you have to borrow a police force's bullhorn, maybe you.
You make it sound like we would give them one as like the most backhanded gift ever. As if like, here's a bullhorn. You might use this in the future. Talk about the most backhanded gift.
I need it.
So,
but I think it's a great idea. Great idea.
Final segment, and we'll try to go through it quickly because I know we're already running longer than we normally would, but whatever. It's our podcast and we can.
Boom.
I will say, just to put it into it, and I think we've been guilty of it as well in the past. You go to one of these first come, first serve. Afterwards, a lot of the people, you know, you don't get the shoes. You're looking for any myriad of reasons to blame it on. And at some point, people end up saying, we might have ended up saying, the shop doesn't care if they're released fairly. The shop wants to sell through their inventory and get their money. They don't care who they sell it to. I'll tell everyone right now, this is, again, I feel so weird. Like I keep being like, my connections. They're not my connections. There are friends who work at Ruckus. As I was posting throughout the day, I was posting the stories of my real-time events. If you want to talk about like bias and objectiveness, I was not really like being like, this is okay. I'm hanging in there. I was being pretty upfront about the experience I was having.
Not having a great time.
Yeah.
It's so cold. Many people,
so many of the employees, both who were there and who were not there, some of them were back at the shop hanging out, were reaching out to me to apologize for the experience I was having, to which I had to be like, no, it's just sneakers. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm not like, I'm not offended. Like, it's super. Yeah. But that to say, like, they all care about it. They all are like bummed that people had that experience, especially, probably people they know and they're friends with. But to put to the fact, you know, like, it's not like they saw that. They were like, shit happens. That's the way shit rolls. You know?
And
it's
no.
Everyone was like apologizing to me, to where I had to be like, they're just shoes. I chose to leave. I could have stuck around and tried to like worm through that mess if I wanted to, but like, I chose to leave.
I personally view this as not worth it. And I will definitely, I 100% think that for the most part, the people at Ruckus, they don't care who gets the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people who skate, don't skate. I don't really think they care who gets it. But I do think that they want everyone to enjoy that experience.
I think they want everyone to enjoy it. They want it to be fair. I don't think they're going to deny. They wouldn't deny someone who wants to resell the shoes in favor of giving them to someone who wants to wear the shoes.
Exactly.
I think they are sneakerheads like we are sneakerheads, where they would prefer if someone who got the shoes were going to wear. But yes, to your point, it's a weird, like, yeah, I don't know about care. They're not going to take any action on it. But at the end of the day, they're not turning someone away.
Exactly. Saying they don't care is not being like, I could give two shits. But it is very much of just like, whoever gets it is who gets it. I can't control that. So I'm not going to bother. Which again, no doubt you are at the end of it. You have to be a business. You have to make a profit. You have to make money. So, and I can't sit here and be like, hey, if you can't do a tray flip, you can't get these.
Right. They're not at that level, certainly. But yeah, to your point, they're selling them to the people that come through the door. They're not checking everyone that came through the door and they're like, scouts on, or did you not cut anyone? But like,
did you hear any comments of backdooring? I know that's like one of the most common things. I, I remember at the Cafe du Mal was a lot. Oh yeah. Of,
well, everyone's quick. That's
you kind of like, saw it in action at the
that's a little Cafe bit different. Mall release. That's actually like I'm kind of like laughing that you brought that up. The fact that like I didn't jot that down because I didn't hear anyone in line saying that. Everyone in line was really complaining about how the security handled it, and then just I mean, so many people in line were like, "I just want to get my shoes and leave," which is like a bummer to hear because you're like, "No, there's like a whole." Build out. They like did a whole experience. They spent time on it, but
and I guess in the sense of I mean, I could see how you would have that mindset because for the Cafe du Monde release, by the time I got in there after spending hours and hours in the sun, I'm exhausted, hungry, I'm thirsty. Inside, I'm sweating and exhausted. All the politics employees, they're lit. There's a party inside. It's amped up, and I'm literally just like, I just want to go home. Like I'm just like, don't get me wrong.
And that's
is the vibe great in here? I'm tired.
That's fair because it's like, again, it's all good and fine for me to be like the experience inside is great. The installation's great. Yeah. I didn't stay in line to go and be like the installation's so good. I'm gonna wait out here another hour. No, I will leave and come back. It's slightly different from the Cafe du Monde one though because that was also. Very small shop and like the installation was just like it's on the walls but
it's on the walls
I get what you're saying I mean it's I could look in the mirror and be like no the installation was great and be like but Ryan you also left and came back and be like I did that's fair.
it's like what you know but I can appreciate the day interesting that like you didn't hear it because that's one of the biggest things
I am surprised
now that you say is it. the backdooring comments
all right so. ultimatum
Ooh. Okay.
Can shops handle first come, first serve? In a yes or no, I'll say yes. They can handle it.
Yeah,
I agree. They can handle it. Here's where I find the twist to be interesting, because as I was posting all the stories, we're it feels so weird. I feel like I'm like connections again. I'll just say we have friends that work at other shops outside, both inside and outside of Louisiana. We had people that work at other sneaker stores messaging us and kind of being like, this is why we don't do first come first serve anymore. It's not worth it. And I think that's the more interesting discussion. These shops can handle these events. Is it worth it? And the more I run through my little outline of talking points here and I think about these things, I'm like, I almost don't know that it is. 'Cause here's the thing. The cost for them to do this event. You got married not that long ago. I got married not that long ago. You know generally what it costs to rent a venue like this. To rent a venue that can hold a couple thousand people. To rent a DJ and a videographer for a day. And to you didn't have a mini ramp at your wedding. I didn't either. But I assume it costs something to build a mini ramp. But
a quarter ramp? No.
A bar. No. Food trucks. You know, like it's not cheap to put this event on.
Oh yeah. It's an investment. I'm sure loss. I don't think they profit.
Well, the only way they do, and that's the other crazy thing, these things only make sense if you have a lot of pairs of shoes to sell or all the accompanying merch to go with it.
Yeah.
These limited runs, that's why you see them, if they do first come, first serve, they do it at the shop. Because they don't have that many, and they're not going to go through all the trouble of renting all this out. But, like, I thought about it. Say you're a shop. You're going to do your first come, first serve, right? You're going to put on this big event, this big build out. Worst case scenario, you've seen it, I've seen it. People literally die. People die at sneaker lineups, and it's so not worth it. From two guys that spend all their free time talking about sneakers to tell you it's not worth it. It's not worth it, right?
And that's like all the way on like the most dramatic scale. Honestly, the worst of the worst. Yeah, exactly. To me, honestly, just being in a situation where I maybe being 30 plus, the minute I'm getting pushed for shoes, I'm out. 100%.
Yep.
I am done.
You want them more than me, clearly? I've got other shoes. I can
wear shoes. Like, there's almost no shoe now that I would be like, I'm going to tough it out. I'm getting squished on. I'm getting stepped. Like, my feet are getting stepped on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be uncomfortable for hours and hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, it really is not worth it. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, for almost every shoe, almost any shoe.
That's your worst case, but now like literally think about what's your best case scenario for a first come first serve. People shrug and go, that was fair. That was fair. There's never enough shoes for everyone.
No.
So you can't even be like, your best case is everyone gets the shoes. That rarely happens. It rarely happens. It doesn't, I'm not gonna say never. It rarely happens. So your best case is people go, that was fair. For all of the time and money and resources and people you put in to put one of those on, for people to go, that was fair. And now you want to look at shop sideways because they run raffles instead.
Exactly. Like,
I get that no one likes raffles because the odds are usually so much worse because there's so many more people and there's not as much transparency. You can't see what's going on like a first come, first serve. But like, you're also not standing outside in the weather for hours on end.
Yeah. And then as soon as they're like, doors are open, there's just a mad rush to it. It's just like, it's like, no. You know, and like I said earlier, this is the part where you see, and I'm sure like obviously the people involved with Ruckus, I mean, they're messaging you being like, I am so sorry that like, this is what happened. Obviously they did not, they were hoping this wasn't happened. I'm sure they probably were like something.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, who knows? I mean, at the end of it, they probably were like, this is, I mean, sure, that wasn't great, but
could have gone worse. Yeah.
No one fought. No one was passing out. That's the thing. Ambulances were called, you know.
We keep using the Ruckus event as an example, but there was a way more popular social media clip going on. Social media clip. My gosh, I've turned into my parents. There was a way more popular clip going around Instagram this past week of another shop somewhere else that did a release for these. And it was so much worse. They resorted to, the mob outside was so bad, they were just throwing out tickets to get the shoes.
It's crazy.
Like throwing them out to a pack of people and being like, that'll work itself out. That'll resolve itself of its own validity.
It's just, it's too crazy. It's too crazy the way sneakers are now and just the climate of everything going on. And it sucks because it's like, I'd almost be like, hey, take that money and just do a block party. Just be like, hey, come hang out.
Yeah.
If you want to buy the stock, like shoes that we have here, merch that we have here, go ahead. But like, we just want to like, we're doing a block party once a year, do a big event, come rock with us.
I'll do you one better. I think that's a great suggestion. And I think as I was putting this episode together, I realized that's kind of the beauty of what I love about Politics Shake Back Sunday.
Yeah.
It's an event where everyone who's into sneakers gets to go and hang out and get a chance at getting the shoes without like the violence of trying to get the shoes, you know? It's a little bit different. It's not first come, first serve. It's going to be your ability to get them is going to be somewhat dependent on your skills at like a random casual game, we'll call it. Which could be like a little upsetting sometimes, but at the same time, like they do it monthly. It's so much more like you view it way more as a hangout rather than like, yo, this is my shot to get like these sneakers. But like, I don't know. I kind of like the light bulb clicked for me. I was like, oh, that's a really smart way for them to kind of do first come first served every month for the big shoes that are coming out and not step on a bunch of toes.
Yeah. That's good. It's definitely, you know, definitely good.
Yeah,
a good solution, and I'm sure all the people at Ruckus, you know, saw this and were taking notes on you know what to make an adjustment for and things like that. And I definitely don't want like my comments of like they don't care about like who gets the shoes in the sense of like they didn't care at all about the you know what transpired. I mean, obviously they want people to enjoy it. They want people to come out and just be a part of the shop and the experience and have a good time, obviously with all of the chuchuts that they put on for the event. You know, they could have just been like, nothing. Just line up, figure it out. If you get to step in.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so.
Your Honor, in closing, my last sentiments I have are, your local sneaker shop is not a faceless million-dollar corporation.
Yes.
They're people. They're people. They're usually nice people. And in general, they want the people who go to their shop or interact with their shop to have a good time and have a good perception 100%. Of their shop. They don't want you to have a bad time, and they do care about their customers. I would say in general, for the most part.
Yeah. 100%. If this was your first experience with Ruckus, go back to the shop. Or, well, I guess not back to the shop, but go to the shop.
Literally go to the shop. It's so cool to chill And like, you've been to plenty of sneaker shops where you go in and everyone is kind of better than you. Nicest guys. Literally the nicest guys.
Yeah. Baton Rouge location, Lafayette location. Super chill.
Both good.
Yeah. Love doing it. So support your local skate shop.
Man, longest episode in a while, but as you can tell, passionate over here. Got a lot of thoughts. Got a lot to share here.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting this in place of the vlog that I thought I was going to film and have edited. So that's also my soft way of letting you down that I did not put enough together for a vlog, maybe a highlight reel at some point. I don't know. Maybe it's already out. I don't know. But we'll see if the footage is even usable.
There you go. Well, I mean, yeah, to end it, shout out to Ruckus for putting all this effort in and doing everything. Do better, people.
Yeah. They can't control the people who show up and their mentality.
No.
They can do their best to like address it. But like me coming to the realization of like, oh my gosh, if I was a shop, I would probably only ever do raffles or do like a big event like this once a year. Cause like financially,
oh my God,
so not worth it, but it's worth it for like the culture, whatever you want to call it. This is like when you get old and you like, you empathize more with your dad and you're like, if I was my dad, I would have never taken us to Disney World. It sounds miserable. Wow. You know, where it's like, just the more you kind of talk to them, you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, I could see that seems like a terrible time for everyone. But again, I went back later in the day and I just got to actually hang out with people and just enjoy the installation. Best part of it. Would love to get my hands on a pair of the shoes if anyone out there is listening and is able to pull those strings.
Hey, we don't say no.
That's right. That's a weird tagline. That's not our tagline. I'm gonna be clear right now.
Yeah. I don't want to be married to that.
We have talked for so long, I barely have the words to go on, so I will throw them on the screen real quick.
There you go. B-roll. podcast.com. Visit it.
Ooh, you do it.
There you go. What's the next one? Instagram @YouPodcast. It's so easy. We post pictures. TikTok @YouPodcast. Still so easy. Videos. YouTube.com/@ShoePodcast. More videos. Patreon.com/ShoePodcast. $2. Please, my chair is breaking.
We could use it more than ever.
We could use it.
I love when you do the clips at the end. That's so good.
Yeah, just that might be our new bit.
Yeah. Well, we only talked for more than an hour here, but I gotta imagine you got something else to tell the people before we go.
I think I'm just going to end it on do better. Just be better. I mean, perspective.
They're just shoes.
You know, I really hate to end on that because I've had so many people be like, it is literally just shoes. And I'm like, okay, but it's more than shoes. Because it is more than shoes. There's so much story behind
things.
But there is definitely a limit. And I am thankful that the Ruckus event happened, and I'm thankful that it was the wildness that happened was at a very small thing. And I'm sure there's people that may look at it and be like, that was totally calm. That's a typical first come, first serve. But I just can't help but look at that and be like, we need to be better as a community, as a culture. Yep. And so, yeah, I will end on that as be better. If you got a pair, I hope that you enjoy them. I hope that you cherish them and
wear them.
It is literally an SB. Like,
yep.
If there's a shoe to wear, it is a,
yeah.
I wish it is an SB.
I wish we had it queued up and I wish we had the money to secure the rights to end the podcast with Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. Cause that's really, you know, I feel like that's the note you're going out on right now.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, as this outro is playing, just hear that song in your head and know that we would put it in here if we could afford not to get sued. It's been a pleasure talking to you for an hour here. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
Catch you all in the next one.